We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
This is the Sooner Sports Podcast, your all-access pass to Sooner Sports. The Sooner Sports Podcast is presented by Allstate. Are you in good hands? And by Riverwind Resort. Riverwind Resort, the place to be.
Oh, mama! What a play!
Now, here's your host, Chris Plank.
All right, welcome into the Sooner Sports Podcast. My name is Chris Plank. Thanks so much for downloading this special Sunday edition. And something we hope over the next couple of weeks becomes a little bit more constant. Now, we only have two official games left, potentially the third with the Big 12 championship, and then hopefully two more after that. But in talking with Jacob Potter, we realized we have so much post-game audio to share. Why not bring you a little bit more than just the Sooner Radio Network post-game show? So here we go. Not a lot of time to waste. Here's what you'll get today. You'll get the post-game press conference from Ruffin McNeil. You'll get the post-game press conference from Lincoln Riley and a little bit from Trey Brown on his game-saving play in Oklahoma's 48-47 win over Oklahoma State. So welcome to the press conference edition of the podcast here on the Sooner Sports Podcast. Let's kick things off with Lincoln Riley's post-game comments after the Sooners improved to 9-1 on the season.
Well, that's why they call it Bedlam. Lived up to the name, lived up to the rivalry. Tremendous game, very different game. Was really explosive offensively, obviously, by both sides in the first half. I thought we, really controlled things offensively, other than a couple of drives in the first half where we got down the red zone, didn't get touchdowns. So that was certainly the most disappointing part of that. That and not getting a chance to kick it there at the end. Kyler was just a little too aggressive, it looked like, with the clock. Knew that we had 5 seconds. But a good first half there. Defensively, we were probably a bit of a victim of such an emphasis coming in of trying to make them one-dimensional in the throwing game. I mean, I think that was certainly a big part of the plan, is trying to eliminate, Hubbard and of course, Justice Hill. With the respect that we have for them. And then they come out and hit two or three just big plays over the top of us, and that changes the way that the game's going to be played. And so give credit to them. I thought, we got some pretty good pressure on their quarterback. I thought Cornelius was outstanding. I mean, I thought he threw the ball as well as I've seen him throw it on tape. I thought they really played well. And so two offenses kind of going at it the first half, and then it kind of flipped in the third quarter. Started to see some stops. Game started to slow down. Defenses started to settle in. Particularly frustrating on our part that had some opportunities to get it to a double-digit score game several times, and just couldn't come up with a play. Especially had some critical penalties that seemed to always happen on long runs or big plays, and that certainly hurt us offensively. But we battled. We battled the whole night. I thought two of the biggest plays of the game were the fumble. To stop that was huge. And then obviously the 2-point play, which we defended well. Our guys, you know, anticipated, were ready for it, and so proud of that. Proud of the way our offensive line continues to play. I think they said it's the third game in a row we've had 300 plus, both rushing and passing, which is, you know, I don't know how many times that's happened. Probably not many. And our front has really led the charge there. So, gutsy win. It'd be fun for this team to continue to go forward. We've got some big goals in front of us, some big games in front of us. But I think I still like what we have in that room, without a doubt. And it's a really excited locker room right now that know we won maybe without our best, and we're going to have to continue to fight to get to our best as we go forward here. But a tremendous win. These rivalry games like this are hard. They're hard to win. And I give Oklahoma State credit for a great game, and certainly thrilled to come out on top.
You give up 500 yards passing. You know, talk about what you were thinking, what your concept was coming into the game to try to defend what they were going to do, the bubble screens and things like
that.
Yeah,
they put you in a tough position. Do you load up on them in the run game? You know, do you double Wallace and all those guys? It's hard to do both. And so we came in thinking, you know, let's make them one-dimensional, give ourselves some chances. As they hit some balls over the top of us early, you know, naturally you still don't want them to get going in the run game. And so we did loosen some things up. They made some plays on some bubble screens. I thought we actually played them pretty well there the last couple of drives, which was really, really big. Got a couple of stops there. But, you know, we've got to improve. You know, we got to grow. We had some opportunities, especially on some third and longs again that plagued us a little bit that we didn't get off the field. So we got to play better. But, you know, again, our kids fought through it and found a way to win and make some huge plays at the end.
Have you seen growth?
The fourth down play, the touchdown play, and then did you expect them to go for two? And then just how the team had to rally after giving up a touchdown?
Yeah, the fourth down play, you know, we decided to play some loose zone there. You know, and the thought was we felt like we could get some pressure just with our rush. Our guys have been winning one-on-one. And more than anything, we wanted to make them, if they were going to get one there, didn't want it to be a one-on-one shot, you know, to one of their guys. You know, we wanted to make him make a tough throw in a window. And, I mean, give the guy credit. I mean, they did. We came out of a zone just a little bit more. I thought we could have squeezed it better. But, I mean, they made a great play. And, you know, so they had a good route dialed up against what we had called. You know, made an extremely good throw and a very competitive catch. So, yeah, we talked about before the series, we felt like that if they did score, they would go for two. So Ruffin had a call ready. And, you know, obviously that ended up being, you know, probably the biggest play of the game.
Have you seen enough growth the last 5 weeks since Ruffin took over defensively? You made a handful of plays today to actually win the game, keep them right at the end zone, sack, the fumble you mentioned. But are you pleased with the growth so far, the progress of the defense?
Yeah, it's a one-week. It's a, you know, week-in, week-out deal right now. I mean, we're in the middle of it, you know. And so I'm not sitting back looking at the previous three or four games right now. It's, you know, looking at the weeks that we're having, looking at the way that we're playing, and then trying to just win and be at your very best the next week. And so were we at our best tonight? No, especially in the first half. I mean, especially there. We did miss more tackles than we have been missing, which was also something that we're going to have to do better. But I do think we have improved in some areas. There's no question. I mean, I really do. I think, you know, some of our the way that we run to the football, our mentality, I do think there's absolute growth. And there's going to have to be. I mean, no doubt. Some of the challenges that we got coming up are going to be there. But the great thing for us right now is every goal that we want to be in front of us is right there in front of us. And that you got to win these games to do that. Sometimes you got to win them when you're not your best. We know here in the last couple we're going to have to find a way to get it to our best.
You mentioned big games, big goals. How do you feel about your defense going into this stretch run?
I feel great about them. I mean, that's the team we got, and I think we know what they're capable of. And so it's looking at the whole team, and I think the whole team, this team's proven it can, you know, separate from some people. It's proven that we can win tough games. It's proven that we can handle adversity. Those are all things you got to do here at the end of the season.
Lincoln, you rushed for 353 today. How much did that play into you winning the game? I mean, you're controlling the ball in the second half with the run game more than the passing game.
Yeah, for the offensive side of it, that was the reason that we won the game. You know, we continue to play at a high level up front. I'm really proud of the two running backs too. I mean, those are the only two running backs we had available. I don't know what we were going to do if something happened to one of them. And so they were awesome. I mean, they were awesome. The O-line was awesome. We did a good job on post-snap penalties, which was a big deal for us. We controlled the line of scrimmage. We can continue to run it like that. We're going to be tough to beat.
Lincoln, last seven plays offensively for you guys that you ran, other than the kneel down, were running plays. Mm-hmm. You talked about how important that is to you guys, but to be able to control things like that, what kind of luxury is that for your team?
Well, it's had a big hand in us winning the last three Big 12s, and if we're gonna do it again, it's gonna be critical. I think you have to run the ball to win and to win games in this month and here at the end of the season. And so it's right now we feel like we can do both, and we feel like we can do both against anybody, and so that I think keeps people off guard. I think you've seen the balance that we've had offensively in the last several weeks. It's been key, and we're certainly going to need it going forward.
Did Trey have to get an ankle retaped? Did he tweak something there in the first half?
Yeah, just a slight tweak, but came back in and played well. Kennedy was so hot. It seemed like every time we handed it to him, he was popping one. It was tough to get him. Kind of like Trey last week. It was tough to get Kennedy out of the game.
Your last series of the – last drive of the third quarter, Marquise Brown made a third and 11 catch.
Huge play.
Two defenders and
huge
had
play.
Another big game 2 plays later.
Yeah, he was awesome for us there, especially the third and 11, because they had some momentum. And I was really proud of a couple things there. One, I just talked with Kyler before that of, that was when some of the frustrations started to set in for us offensively. And, I talked to him about you can't try to just win this thing by yourself right now. You got to just keep trusting it. And that was a great example of, that was the right read. And I think a lot of quarterbacks in that situation, starting 11, you kind of feel like, man, we need to make a play. Might have held on to it, gone somewhere that the way it wasn't designed. And Kyler trusted it, got it to Marquise in time so that he had some space. And the fact that Kyler trusted it gave Marquise that opportunity. So I was proud of those guys. And, yeah, that's what your best players got to do, especially in games like that. You're going to have some stuff that works and drawn up and all looks pretty, but you're going to have some plays like that that your guy's got to make, and he made it.
Lincoln, Jalen Redmond played well the last three games. No, he wasn't suited today. Is there an update on his status?
Yeah, a couple updates. Jalen, I don't want to get too much into it as far as in-depth out of respect for his privacy and his family's. While having a really positive long-term prognosis, there is another I would say occurrence of what he had before. It's much more positive than what it was before. And the outlook is really, really good. There's been a lot of progress, but it is going to hold him out here for the rest of this year. Also would announce, Alex Dalton in our Tuesday practice, tore his ACL in his knee, which is gut-wrenching. It's his third. It's his third one. The only guy I've ever seen with that, and he's been a really valuable member of this team, of this O-line. So, we've had a couple of those last few weeks, just some gut-wrenching injuries that I'm not going to say they've damaged the psyche of this team, but, you're talking about some of the most kind of beloved figures on this team, and to see some of that happen in the manner it has been – our guys have had to fight through it a little bit. We got a very, very close group that cares about one another. And so, I think we'll use it certainly as inspiration going forward, but obviously hate it for Alex, especially, here towards the end of his career.
Who's your backup center now?
That's a good question.
Logan?
No. What's that?
Third string running back.
That's a good question today. We would have had to have gotten creative.
You guys are inevitably compared to a bunch of different teams. You could talk about sort of big goals being out there for you. When they question your defense week after week after week, and then there's kind of a day like today where you got a couple of stops, but it was tough most of the day. You understand why people question that, and what's kind of your reaction to that?
I just don't listen to it because I know, just like it has here the previous 3 years, you just have to win. It's about winning. It's not about this team playing that team, this and that. It's about your matchup on the field each and every Saturday. And at the end of the game, do you win or do you lose? And the result here has been the last few years when we've taken care of business in the conference, we've taken care of business out of conference, we've been in the playoff. The 1 year we didn't take care of business out of the conference, we were, probably one slot out of the playoff. So that's, you just have to win. Everybody wants to make these predictions and all that right now. You know, we've been through this. You know, we know how it goes. And if we continue to win, we're going to be in great shape.
Do you feel like you stack up well, just given what you've got, if you were to get to that point?
Oh, I'll take this team against anybody. Just like we're just as capable as we've been any year, and I think we all know, you know, how close we've been. Absolutely.
Second straight week, Lincoln, that you've lamented an opportunity to separate mm-hmm. a little bit. And it's weird to ask you, given the numbers you're amassing offensively at 700 yards today. So it's weird to ask if you need to be better offensively.
Sure.
Yet it seems that's
becoming. No, it's not weird to ask. I mean, it's you see those opportunities. You know what you're capable of. Now, we also understand other teams have scholarship players and really good coaches, and they work really hard too. So we're not going to make every play. But, no, those are golden opportunities, and it's certainly something we can point to as an offense and say some of these opportunities to separate, you know, especially kind of right out of half like we've had the last couple of weeks, these are different games if we do that. And, you know, it's absolutely something we've got to get better at.
A lot of people might focus on the defense, but – offensively, how do you feel like this team stacks up with some of the teams in college football?
I don't know. I don't watch a lot of other teams' offense. I'm not taking anybody over ours, so I promise you that.
You talked about that you expected Oklahoma State to go for two there at the end. What was the process like figuring out how you're going to defend that play? And how'd you see that play?
Yeah, it worked out good because we were able to – there was a timeout before the special teams play, so we were able to talk about it a little bit before the series. You know, Ruffin was able to get his thoughts together. Defensive staff had some good communication and had a call that we felt like would be good. And so, yeah, just good organization by those guys. Of course, you get to whatever it was, 4th and 19. You're not certainly expecting to have to use it, but we did, and you know, it obviously paid off.
Did what happened with Texas and West Virginia kind of put that in your mind this week, that scenario?
Not really. It's, you know, I know Mike, you know. I mean, Mike's just the whole situation where, you know, I don't know that I would say any way that their season's gone. Would have a point in that. I honestly can't imagine many scenarios where he wouldn't have done that. And if the roles had been reversed, I'd have done the same thing. So, I mean, I give him credit. You know, it was a bold call, but he's a bold coach. That's why he's been as successful as he has been.
This is a little bit out there, but can you – kind of describe your emotions going from defending that last drive, the 2-point conversion, and then having to get the kneel down, and then you basically walked up to your wife and gave her a hug and then carried your daughter off the field. Can you describe your own emotions in that moment?
Yeah, no, it's still a little surreal. I mean, doing all that at this place, on that field, you know, winning a historic game in the fashion that we did, getting to do this job I get to do every day, and then celebrate with my family. So it's as good as it gets. I love it.
You talk about just, you know, losing their beloved figures and then having several games where it's come down to the last, you know, last second. What does that say about the resolve of this team? You really are kind of emotional when you say you would take them over everybody else.
Yeah, no, it's this team's got a lot of fight in them, you know, and that's why I know we're going to continue to get better. And I know there's a lot of big things in front of us. And so in big moments that I absolutely feel we'll be ready for. And so, you know, if you can have all the other stuff, but if you don't have the fight and the heart, you don't have a prayer, especially this time of year. And so we got that. There's certainly all areas that we got to get better at. We'll own those and we'll go attack those. But our fight stays like this, we're going to have a chance against anybody we line up against.
Lincoln, as a head coach, can you just talk about, you know, what you work with your staff on your cornerbacks? Because, I mean, Trey Norwood had a rough night tonight. Mm-hmm. Parnell's had rough nights, but he's come back and played well. Trey Brown probably had rough nights, but then he makes the play at the end. Just working with those guys mentally, how tough is that in this league?
Oh, it's like any player. It is. Their mistakes happen in front of everybody. You know, we're an offensive lineman's this or that don't always happen that same way. Everybody sees when a quarterback messes up. Everybody sees when a DB gets beat on a play. I think it's a couple things. One, it still takes 11. You know, if you've got the opportunity to give help with safeties or to control the pass rush up front or control the run game where you can give those guys more help, it all works in sync. And so those are plays that our corners have got to play better. Have we had some games this year where we've played better? No doubt. We gave up some big ones today that we have not been giving up, so we got to grow. But that's a confident group. It's a talented group. They've played well for us, and they will again.
Unfortunate news in there about Jalen Redmond. Obviously, thoughts with him. But good news on the prognosis, because we saw the kind of beast and difference maker that he could be. You know, I've seen Alex Dalton on the sidelines and just waiting for his opportunity. And to know that's his third ACL injury is just heartbreaking. I guess the good news that comes out of all of this is that not really news on TJ Pledger. So you would hope that that was nothing too severe that kept him out of Saturday's Bedlam win. All right, obviously a lot of questions for Ruffin McNeil after the defensive performance. Here was what the Sooners' new defensive coordinator had to say about Oklahoma's win.
Talk about what you were trying to do in the secondary today. They throw for 501, but I know you come in with a game plan of what you're trying to do. So talk a little bit about how it worked or what you were trying to do.
Trying to be over the top. They did a good job of getting our isolating our guys one-on-one. Tyler's a good football player. And so we just started trying to go man-to-man on him more, but did a good job of isolating us a little bit with him.
You've seen in the 5 weeks you've been doing this?
Well, you know, you always go back, and the one thing I am pleased about, I'll come back, but you always look at it and say, well, how can I be better? Not the kids. What can I do better to help them? You know, something here, something there. But as far as the kids, the most impressive thing is their fight. You know, they had some tough plays, and you got to give Coach Gundy and his team credit. But our kids kept fighting for the second week in a row. You know, yeah, you don't want to, but wins are hard. I said it last week, wins are hard. And if anyone thinks I'm going to not, no, I love it. What I think about is how can I help them more, you know. So as soon as the game's on, I start thinking that way. But very happy to get the win. And there's a lot of things we can improve on.
Progress, is it a lot of this every week to week where you make progress and then you take a step back?
No, not really. You know, I think last week we faced a team that did a good job early. You know, we're facing, you know, you're talking about two top teams in the league. We had 68 explosive plays going to the game, and next person tied was Oklahoma State. They've had 68 explosive plays going to this game, so we knew that. You see some steady play in areas. And you see some areas that need to keep doing that. But that's just how this game is. You know, in November, you know, what I've learned is you got to scrap. And I know the last 2 weeks have been scraps and fights. And haven't been in it for a little while. I don't ever take that lightly. So, yeah, we'd like to be here. And that's the challenge of coaching. So,
talk about the – you know, you came up with a great call for the two-point play, and Coach said you knew about it, or you already had one in mind. But talk about what you were thinking about there, and did they run what you thought they were going to run?
Well, you know, calling against Coach Riley every day in practice gets hard. We don't see each other on Mondays and Thursdays, but Tuesdays and Wednesdays we go against one another. And it could be third down or two-minute offense, two-point play. And during that time, what I do is watch the other team. We all have different assignments on defense, for example, and trick play area, for example, exotic formations, two-point plays, and then you sort of come up with two options, you know, one to be able to attack or blitz it, one to defend it. That last one we felt just getting in man, and let's send some edge pressure. We knew two in the game, they're going to have to come back with motion. That's what they've shown. So, you know, you see if you watch it real closely, you see Trey pointing it out, alerting that he's going to run with it. And, you know, so, you know, you with pressure off the edge, the best thing down there is we just went straight zero coverage with no help. Each week changes. Like last week we thought maybe be more coverage and zone coverage. So that takes about a week or I start really on Sunday after we grade this film and I watched, I'm a whole part. So I start watching whole, and then Monday night, Tuesday, Wednesday, those little intricacies like two-point play, before the half, in the game, you know. We had timeouts left right before the half. Wish I would have gone to Boston and say, let me get one right here. But they were going down and down, hurry-up offense, which is good on their part, and learned a lot personally as a team. So we have it fixed, better fix it.
How hard is it to kind of keep the morale up when you keep getting them the second and third and longs, and You know, it seems like you have them, and then they just they get it. Maybe by not a much, very much, but they get that first down.
It's tough. You know, I know it's tough on the players. That's why we keep talking about forget it and drive on. You know, Fido, because they coach too. You know, they spread you too, and you hope to get your share. You know, last week we were 70%, 77%. This week, a little tougher. But getting third down is very big for us, and the reason why, it first gets us off the field, but number two, get the ball back to our offense. That's one of the biggest emphasis. I know I was asked about turnovers. We do turnover circuits every day, trying to get the ball back to our offense to get extra possessions, because if you give those guys extra possessions, we're ahead of the schedule. So when we're able to stop them on third down, now we got CD back to return punts, and Coach Beamer does a great job in punt return. So it all a part of that complement of football. So it bothers you, it hurts you, but at the same time, you got to line back up and play again.
Can you talk a little bit about Caleb Kelly getting him on the field more today?
Yeah, Caleb is, you know, Caleb had contemplated wanting to move positions, and Coach Riley and the staff, we wanted him there, you know, move it, and he was inside. But then it comes to a point where we went to Caleb, and Caleb's a team player, and so Caleb, we need you on the field here. So it wasn't like we had to twist his arm. He's ready to go, you know. So Caleb's a really good football player. Coming off of shoulder surgery a little bit early, especially during fall camp, not talked about much. And he wanted to move positions and go more to an inside linebacker. So this past, really, week and a half, been sort of getting him ready to go. So he'll be there from here on out.
Yeah, when did you start the transition? This week, or has it been a couple
of weeks? Yeah, he's always been there, you know, like in our – passing packages, which is sort of similar to what he does. But now when base, Caleb has the ability to be in what we call base and also in any kind of multiple skill type packages, which you call stacks. So Caleb's smart, very coachable, and it was just a relearning for him because he played it last year and before I got here the year before. So for Caleb, it was just relearning, and we changed not much for him, so he's able to catch on.
And along the lines of what you were talking about before, you know, they had 39 first downs today.
39. That's a lot.
So, you know, this day and age, can you be a playoff team giving up those kind of numbers if you get the stops late that you need to, especially when you have that offense on your team with Kyler Murray?
When you have people looking at it, I know I was mentioned talking to those guys that did our game, Todd and Steve and Brian. And now it is a winter dressing thing to get in that playoff. Not that I'd love to be there. I think people have to really, you asking me personally what I think, is win by one, win the game. Because if you've been in it as long as I have, you know how hard wins are. Now, with the playoff, it's got to be different now. So, yeah, sure, you know, you'd like to have this, maybe, but nothing would ever take away from the feeling of winning because I've been on the other end of that. So, yes, the playoffs goal is here. The Big 12 goal is here. Winning this game was like right now. So I think a little bit differently probably, you know, because I know there's a long-term goal. Mine goes right back to the night, Saturday. And I got 24 hours to digest it on Monday to go to the next guy, Kansas. Not tonight, but tomorrow, really tomorrow if we break down film. So if you're asking that, do I? Yes, but now getting critical stops, if that's a category, maybe somebody should look that up. Critical stops and, you know, stopping a two-point play was pretty big, I think, you know. Two-point play last week for interception was helped us win, you know. So I'd probably look at it a little bit differently, you know, than most people, but doesn't mean I'm right or wrong, you know. I'm about answering your question. I don't seem like I am. I can tell about you leaning to your left like that on your elbow. Yeah.
Just leaning into you.
You focus, yeah. But, no, I just in the order, like I said, win is important. And then I know I don't listen to radio or stuff like that, you know. I'm weird about that kind of. I just – but I know that's a part of it now, being a complete team and making sure we do our part. That doesn't intimidate me it even motivates not just me but our staff and our players. So, but at the same time, nothing will override us winning a football game. A rivalry game, nip and tuck, and our guys having to come up and make a play again for the second time in the week. No, it wasn't pretty in some standards, but for me it was because we won, you know. So I really put that over a lot, you know. Maybe that's not an answer everybody want to hear, but I just like to win because I've been on the other side of that where we didn't win. So I enjoy that part, and I enjoy it for the kids, too. You know, so. That's a great question.
Ruffin, you guys struggled at times to stop the Florida State's offense. You also had some nice plays, eight passes, two sacks, tackles for loss. What's the key to playing consistent defense moving forward?
Well, you know, it's in this league, you got to be able to bring your coverage. You'd like to be able to go as many different coverage as you want. But at the same time, make sure you guys know their assignments. And everybody says you keep it simple. Well, one of the hardest things about keeping it simple is keeping it simple. You know, that's one of the hardest things about it. So with that, better bring your coverages. We know Tyler's a really good football player, for example. So is Hill. Those guys are really good ball players. So just playing 11-man defense is my first answer. Run game, getting exact run fits, which I thought we did for the most part. Pass game fits, we have to make sure great pass rush equals great pass coverage and vice versa. Y'all good?
I just want to ask about Brandon Radley Hiles. I don't know if somebody asked you about him, but what did you think of how he played and what do you think of his return after missing last week?
Well, you know, last week we were down two starters, he and Khalil, and we thought we may be able to get him back, but it was tough. So I love the football player of Buki, but I love him more. So having him on the field was made us more multiple, you know. Khalil's experience at safety is big, you know, not having Khalil out there can make you hinder your calls a little bit. You got to cater your calls, and that's okay. But having Buki back, you're able to do a little bit more things coverage-wise. I was asked about the offenses and those things. You get a little bit more involvement, and, you know, he's still a freshman growing, but it was good to be able to see him on the field.
Time for one more for Coach Ruff.
They've done good, Mike. Give them some pizza and stuff. They ask good questions, Mike.
And then finally, wrap up this nice little Sunday brunch edition of the Sooner Sports Podcast with Trey Brown, a little bit on his game-saving play.
Well, let's start there. Walk me through what you saw, kind of what was going to go in through your mind and the message to the defense before they went for that two-point.
I mean, we were just talking about, like, how it's just not over, you know what I'm saying? We got to fight to the end. And when I seen that and he went in motion, I knew it was coming out. I knew that the QB was going to roll out to his side because he's over there motioning. And so he's got to be coming out as well. So I just followed him.
And just to make that play and for this team, how did that feel? How much did that mean to you to be able to step up in that moment?
I mean, it meant a lot. You know what I'm saying? You know, we wasn't having our best game, but we was able to bounce back and do some positive at the end. You know, I just went out there, did my job, talked to my mom before the play, so I know she was with me. She was with me with that, and it just felt amazing.
Back-to-back week, you guys have faced a top 10 offense, but just to survive this, it's Bedlam, it's a rivalry game. To come out of this with a win, how big was that?
It's pretty big. You know, it's Bedlam. You know, you never know what's going to happen with Bedlam. I mean, they've been having a lot of powerhouse offenses every year. You know, you see that. And we just had to, like, play our game, and we knew what we was getting into at the beginning, so we just had to stay ready for that.
How good is this Oklahoma offense?
Oh, they're amazing. They're amazing. Like, this is one of the best offenses I've ever been around. You know what I'm saying? So every year they're always good, but they're really good this year.
And you guys have to go up against the O-line every week in practice. But, you know, again, three straight weeks with 300 and 300, four straight weeks with over 300 rushing yards. Just how dominant are they?
Very dominant. You know, they're not one-dimensional at all. You know they're going to get the job done on the ground and also in the passing. You know, you got Kyler, you got those top receivers out there, top running back, the line, everybody, you know. So we know they're going to get the job done. It's on us to get the job done as well.
The kick time has become officialized for next Saturday night against Kansas. We'll be on the air at 4:30 on the Sooner Radio Network to get you ready for a 6:30 kick. That's right, prime time at the Palace, Oklahoma and Kansas. And then, of course, we'll have less than a week to turn around and get ready for Morgantown when Oklahoma travels to take on West Virginia the day after Thanksgiving. Hope you enjoy this press conference edition of the Sooner Sports Podcast. And until Tuesday's press conference edition of the Sooner Sports Podcast, this is Chris Plank signing off and saying Sooners win and Boomer Sooner, everybody.
This has been the Sooner Sports Podcast. Make sure to get all the latest episodes online right now at Soonersports.tv/podcast. And make sure to follow us on Twitter at OU On The Air.